In his book, The Greatest Generation, Tom Brokaw shed light on Americans who came of age during the Great Depression and fought in World War II. In his latest book, Boom, the award-winning journalist skips ahead a couple of decades for a look at the 1960s generation. His new History Channel special explores the pivotal year of 1968 and its impact on American culture.
The 60s made room for outsiders and their ideas. We were pushed on by history.
What a time to live in.
Very exciting, and the drug culture was just neat.
The special is called 1968 with Tom Brokaw. The legendary newsman recalled some of the historic events of that year.
At the beginning of 1968, Gene McCarthy, a little-known Minnesota senator, goes to New Hampshire and effectively drives the sitting president of his own party, Lyndon Johnson, from office. Tet Offensive happens in March. Viet Cong invades Saigon and the grounds and the embassy itself of the United States in Vietnam. Dr. Martin Luther King is assassinated in Memphis. Bobby Kennedy has already entered the presidential race at that point. He's assassinated in California in June. Richard Milhouse Nixon, who had taken himself out of American politics in 1962, puts the party back together on the Republican side and moves into the South, which had always been safe Democratic territory, capitalizes on the frustrations of the so-called silent majority with the excesses of the young in the streets, and gets elected president of the United States in the fall of that year. And between them, Nixon and George Wallace, deeply segregationist demagogue from Alabama, they get 60% of the vote. At the end of the year, Apollo 8 lifts off and circumnavigates the moon. Not a bad year.
Do you think that the 60s has had a lasting impact? Is it always going to be a case where one era pushes one view of the world and then subsequent eras undermine it to a certain extent?
But what I would challenge is the one view of the world. I think that the 60s was always a more complicated scenario than most people think about the 60s. The stereotypical view of the 60s is the great moral crusade of Dr. King, a flower child dancing in the Golden Gate Park through the haze of marijuana smoke with James Taylor singing in the background. But as I indicated a few moments ago, there were working-class families across America who stayed true to their traditional values. Their kids went to Vietnam, served honorably, came back to a hostile nation. Be very careful that we just don't have a homogenous characterization of what was going on.
It was also a time when people took some unusual paths in their lives. I'm thinking about the Olympic gold medalist Rafer Johnson, who ended up working in politics for a while, also working in news. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
He was a friend of mine. I had, he'd been kind of a hero of mine when I was a young man growing up. He was this superb decathlete. He was a gold medal in the decathlon in Rome in 1960. Handsome, modest, maybe the purest human being I've ever known. And we were working together in California at the local NBC affiliate. And Bobby Kennedy was his hero and somebody he'd grown close to. And Senator Kennedy really wanted Rafer to join the campaign. I counseled against it initially, saying, you know, Rafer, it'll be too hard for you to come back into broadcasting. This is the long curve. And then I saw the two of them together, and I saw the enormous warmth in their relationship. And I walked over and said, Rafer, I take it all back. I think you should join. And we had a good laugh, including Senator Kennedy. And I've always been grateful that I did, because it became maybe the most important month of Rafer's life. He was at Bobby's side every day, and then he was with him in the pantry of the kitchen at the Ambassador Hotel that night and wrestled the gun out of Sirhan Sirhan's hand. He still feels the loss now. We were together in California earlier this year. He's a very a man of great reserve, but it was an emotional time for him to describe what he went through.
You go through a number of prominent people like Kris Kristofferson, who transformed their lives in 1968.
Yes.
Give us an example. You also talk about yourself. Who were you? Where were you? What stands out for you?
Well, I was a child of the 50s and came out of South Dakota as a guy who drank too much beer and chased too many girlfriends in college. But I married a woman that I was deeply in love with and had known since I was 15 when she was 21 and I was 22. And we set off on this great adventure with the values of our parents pretty much in mind. We arrived in California in 1966, and we were both intrigued and felt a little bit liberated by some of the things that were going on in the 60s about making your own choices and not having to follow the rules, if you will, of your parents. you know, and we experimented with marijuana. You know, I liked it a little better than it liked me, but I really preferred single malt scotch and good red wines at the end of the day. So, you know, there was an experimental period for a lot of people, and not all of them went crashing off the rails. If there's one legacy of the 60s that everyone agrees on, the consensus agreement is that the music was without peer. 40 years later, the artists who came along at that time are still with us. McCartney, the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, James Taylor. They can still pack concert halls.
If you were to go to a college campus today and tell...
As I do a lot.
As I'm sure that you do. And talk to some of the students, I bet you would find some students who say, oh yeah, my parents talk to me about the 60s all the time, but I'm tired of it. Do people get fatigued hearing about other generations
tell their
versions of history?
Yeah, a little bit. And Obama is trying to make a political issue out of that. He's saying, you know, it's time for us to end these sophomoric debates about the issues of the 60s and move on. I'm the transformational candidate who can do that. I wrote about the greatest generation, the World War II generation and the Depression era of citizens of this country. They didn't talk about their experiences at all. And part of the 180 in the country is that the boomers couldn't stop talking about their experiences. I say to young people now, well, why don't you buy Boom, take it home and say to your parents, okay, where were you during these events? And let me see some pictures of those weird outfits that you were wearing and try to generate, if you will, a kind of intergenerational dialogue.
Well, that could set off a whole bunch of things in the household. Tom Brokaw, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Tom Brokaw is NBC News special correspondent. His latest book is called Boom, Voices of the 60s, Personal Reflections on the 60s and Today. And you can watch 1968 with Tom Brokaw this Sunday on the History Channel.